If you would turn to Galatians chapter number 4, and tonight we are going to, with the Lord's help, deal with verses 21 through 31 of Galatians 4. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 21, reading through the end of the chapter, verse 31. Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." That's God's word, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, last week we looked at the previous verses, and we saw that Paul expressed his fear and his doubts concerning the salvation of the Galatians. He was fearful that they were not saved, and he doubted, by the end of our text, he doubted their salvation. They had started well, but they were not continuing well. And they weren't going to finish well on the present course they were on. They were being persuaded to add the keeping of certain aspects of the law to the work of Christ for their salvation. And the addition of works to Christ is actually the evidence that they had not by faith believed and trusted Christ at all for their salvation. And what we noticed was that when a person does not embrace the truth of Scripture, they begin to see the messengers of that truth as their enemies and not their friends. And they seek out those who will tickle their ears. If they desire to add their own efforts to their salvation, they will find those who will tell them that their efforts for their salvation matter. Paul says there was a time when the Galatians loved him and appreciated him so much, and the truth that he preached, that they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to him. But now, they think of him as their enemy because he speaks the truth. So that's what we looked at last time we were here. Paul's personal appeal to them. Very perplexed. But now he is going to appeal to them from Scripture. That's always good, right? That we appeal through Scripture. So look at verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? So, Paul begins with a question. It's a rhetorical question, but it is a question nonetheless. It is an imperative question. This is in the imperative. So Paul is commanding or demanding that they answer this question. And what Paul is simply saying is this: if you have a desire in your heart to be under the law, there's no way you could be listening to what the law says. A desire to be under the law is a misunderstanding of what the law actually teaches. So these Galatians were beginning to use the law as a means of their justification. They believed that if they would obey the law, that their obedience to the law would give them a right standing before God, that God would accept them, that God would approve them, that God would bless them because they were doing these things. If that sounds far-fetched, there's a lot of Baptists believe that same thing. The better they are, the more God will bless them, right? So Paul says that the law does not do what they are trying to make the law do. Apparently, Paul says, you haven't read the law. Or if you read the law, you haven't listened to what the law is saying. The law can't save you, and the law even tells you that it can't save you if you'll read it. Look at verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. So for Paul, there are two kinds of people. And you'll see this as we go through this passage. It is the law of twos. There's a lot of twos here. So you have to pay attention a little bit and get lost. Abraham has two sons. For Paul, these two sons represent two kinds of people that are in the world. Two sons. What were their names? Ishmael and Isaac. Two sons. Those two sons represent the two kinds of people that are in the world. So just two. And everybody's either in one or the other category. That simplifies things, right? We're either like Ishmael or we're like Isaac. Now, there were many similarities between Ishmael and Isaac. They had the same father, right? Their father was Abraham. They, for a while, grew up in the same home. But what Paul here focuses on is the difference, or the differences between the two sons. And what he says is, these two sons were born of two different women, right? Abraham had two sons. One of them was born of a bondmaid, a slave. Her name would be Hagar. and Ishmael was born of Hagar. The other was by a free woman. Her name would have been Sarah, and her son was Isaac. So you following along with me so far? Abraham, one man, one father, had two sons by two different women. Ishmael by Hagar the bondmaid, and Isaac by Sarah the free woman. Amen? Now, the two sons inherited from their mothers two different kinds of legal standings. Ishmael, because he was born of a slave woman, was a what? Was a what? Slave. Was a slave. You with me? Abraham had two sons. I'm going to repeat this all night long because you need to get this. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael was born of a slave, Hagar. Isaac was born of a free woman. And because of their mother, Ishmael is born a slave and Isaac is born free. You with me? Now, the reason Ishmael is born a slave is because of his mother. The reason Isaac is born free is because of her mother, his mother. You with me? So neither son made this happen. They simply were born into the standing because of the standing of their mother. That's the difference. The mothers made the difference. They had the same father, but the mothers made the difference in the sons. One born a slave, the other born free because the mother was a slave and the other mother was free. You with me? All right. Verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman, Hagar, that would be what? Ishmael, was born after what? The flesh. But he of the free woman, that's Sarah and that's Isaac, was born by what? Promise. So now each son was born a different way. They're born of two different women, but now Paul says their births were different. Ishmael was born after the flesh, which means that Ishmael was procreated the ordinary, normal way. Abraham had relations with Hagar, and they had a child named Ishmael. Normal, earthly way that people have children. Ishmael was the result of the work and the efforts of Abraham and Hagar. His birth, Ishmael's birth, was a natural birth. Isaac's birth, however, was not natural and was not ordinary. His birth was a birth of promise. There is an abnormality in the birth of Isaac. Remember, Sarah, when she had Isaac, was 90 years old, and Abraham was 100, and both of them were well past childbearing abilities. So the circumstances that surround Isaac's conception and birth were extraordinary. Isaac is born through a promise, or we might say according to the Spirit of God. The birth of Isaac was the result of God's supernatural intervention. Isaac's birth is the work of God. Ishmael's birth is the work of Abraham and Hagar. You see what Paul's trying to get us to see here. The birth of Ishmael was a birth of human effort, while the birth of Isaac was a birth of faith in the promise of God. You with me so far? Now this is really, 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 really good. Verse 24. Which things What things? Abraham, Hagar, Sarah, Ishmael, Isaac. Those things are what? An allegory. Now, Paul says here that this personal historical reality of Abraham, Hagar, Sarah, Ishmael, and Isaac, and they were absolutely historical people. They, what is recorded, actually happened. But Paul says that it could be interpreted allegorically. Now, there shouldn't be any argument here, because the Bible here tells us that we can make an allegorical interpretation of this. This is not a made-up story that is used to point to a spiritual truth like Pilgrim's Progress. It's a historical truth. It's historical realities that God created that also tell us of a spiritual truth as well. So the historical realities of Abraham and Hagar and Sarah and Ishmael and Isaac point us to spiritual realities, as well as being historical truth. With me? So this is literally history that is pointing to something spiritual. God is saying something to us spiritually through the reality of this family. Okay? So, in the eyes of God, we are all either spiritually Ishmael or spiritually Isaac. All right? Now, these two sons who are born of two different women, right, have two different kinds of births, now spiritually represent two different what? Covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai, right? And Mount Sinai, this covenant, gendereth, that means mothers, mothereth, genders to what? Slavery, bondage. And he says that is Hagar or Hagar. So what is a covenant? A covenant is a binding agreement that God makes with His people. So this old covenant from Mount Sinai contained all the rituals, all the regulations, all the rules that God's people had to keep in order to receive God's blessings. So you have thou shalt and thou shalt not. The covenant here at Mount Sinai, represented by Hagar, is a covenant based on the principle of works. And the keeping of it was a kind of bondage. It meant slavery to the law. Hagar represents this covenant because she herself was a slave. Are you with me? So, Ishmael represents this old covenant, working covenant, bondage covenant, because his mother was a slave. Then look at verse 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, that's important, and is in what? Bondage with her children. Now what in the world does that mean? Paul says that those who are under the covenant of the law, the covenant of this bondage to the law, answereth, or that word answereth means to correspond with or to be the same as. So let's reread it. For this, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and is the same as Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. So Jerusalem here, I think, stands for the Jews and their system of Judaism of Paul's day, now is. It is the institution of Jewish religion. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that although the false teachers at the churches of Galatia who are teaching the people to keep the law, while they are Jews, they are really spiritually Ishmaelites. Say amen. They, modern, in Paul's day, the Jews who were depending on the law to save them were in bondage with Hagar's children. So while the Jews were indeed the children of Abraham, they had the same father. Physically, they were the children of Abraham. Spiritually, they were not the children of Abraham. And so to give the gospel up and go back to the law was an admission that they were the sons of Hagar rather than the sons of Sarah. It was to confess that they were still in spiritual bondage. Now, I want you to listen. If you've fallen asleep, wake up. I want you to listen. Hagar was never a free woman. Hagar was always a slave. Sarah was never a slave. You with me? The covenant of works never frees anyone. It never was free, and none of the children of the covenant of works ever were free. Say amen. And if you trust in your works for your salvation, you've never been free either. Here's what Spurgeon said, quote, "The poor sinner trying to be saved by the law is like a blind horse going round and round a mill and never getting a step further, but only being whipped continually. And the faster he goes, the more work he does, the more tired he becomes, and so much the worse for him." Hagar was a slave. Ishmael, born to Hagar, was also a slave. And it did not matter how much good Ishmael did, he would never be anything other than a slave. No amount of works could he do would make him a free man. Say amen. Sarah was never a slave. Isaac was born to her by promise. So Sarah represents the covenant of promise. And the covenant of promise is where God says not, thou shalt not. Instead, God says, I will. I will be your God. I will redeem you from your sins. I will give you the gift of eternal life. I will take your sins. I will take the punishment for them. I will give you perfect righteousness. That's the covenant of the gospel, which gives us salvation through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is what? Above. is free. That's a different Jerusalem, isn't it? It's not the earthly Jerusalem. That's the Jerusalem that is above. Right? It's not the Jerusalem on earth that he talked about in verse 25, which is in bondage because of their keeping the law for their salvation. This is Jerusalem from above. This Jerusalem from above is free and is what? The mother of us all. Who's us all? All of us who are saved. Amen? So this is not even the Jerusalem that is to come. This is the Jerusalem that is. This is spiritual Jerusalem. So this is the promises that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Anyone who receives Jesus as Savior and Lord are the children of Sarah and the true child of Abraham, and therefore free in Christ. So, we have two mothers. What's their names? Hagar and Sarah. This is a test. We have two sons. Their names are Ishmael and Isaac. We have two covenants, the old and the new. We have two cities, the earthly Jerusalem and the spiritual or heavenly Jerusalem. And we have two families, slaves to the law and free in Christ. And what the allegory does is show us the difference between spiritual slavery and spiritual freedom. Those who try to justify themselves by keeping the law are the slave children of Hagar. But those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ are the free children of Sarah. So the question is not, who's your daddy? The question really is, who's your mama? Somebody help me. Verse number 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. That's a quote from Isaiah. Barren. Who was barren? Sarah was barren. And God blessed her with what? Many children. But Isaiah here is prophesying not just with Sarah in mind, but about Jerusalem. The current earthly city of Jerusalem was barren because they had been carried away in exile in Isaiah's day. But Isaiah promised that one day God would establish a new Jerusalem which would be filled with far more children than the old Jerusalem could ever hold. And Paul is saying here that that promise prophesied by Isaiah is being fulfilled even in Paul's day. Not an earthly city, but a spiritual city. Verse 28. Y'all enjoying this? This is really good. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of what? Promise. You are not the children of Hagar, you're the children of Sarah. Say amen. Those who are saved, those who are born again, those who have faith in Christ alone are like Isaac was, supernaturally birthed. We have not been born the normal way. We have been supernaturally birthed into the family of God. We who are saved are the children of God by divine intervention. We are the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Now, look at this. But as then he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael, law keepers, slaves, what did they do? What did he do? They persecuted the one that was born after the Spirit. Isn't that what happened? Well, Paul's going to apply this now. Listen. What happened was, Ishmael made fun of Isaac, persecuted him, ridiculed him. The one that was persecuted was the one who was born after the Spirit. He was persecuted by the one that was born after the flesh, right? That's how it historically happened, right? But it's sort of an allegory, right? So he says, even so it is now. One implication of being in the family of God is that we are going to be persecuted. And this is based on history. As Ishmael persecuted Isaac, so it is now. Listen, we should expect the same type of treatment that Isaac received from Ishmael. And one way to tell the difference between a false religion and a true religion is persecution. One of the distinguishing marks of believers is that they are willing to suffer persecution for their faith and even die for it. So, who is it being persecuted? The ones that were born of the Spirit. Who's doing the persecuting? Those who are religious. Who killed Christ? The religious. False religions are always doing the persecuting. And we should prepare ourselves for greater persecution that I think is sure to come to us in America. Now, we have in our country all of these issue-based concerns, right? It's justice, it's race, it's this life matters and that life matters. All this issue stuff that is going on in our country today. But I want to remind you, before you get caught up in all of that, that the greatest issue of mankind is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And until we get the gospel, get that one issue settled, the gospel, it will be impossible to move on to other things. Look at verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? That's what we need to know. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do? Well, let's see what Scripture says. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So what is our response to this truth that Paul is bringing to our attention? And the response is repentance, right? It is repentance. It's repentance of placing ourselves under the law. Repentance of trying to position ourselves and our behavior and our actions to try to earn favor with God. Repentance of that which is nothing more than trying to guilt and shame people. The only way to be free is to cast out the bondwoman and her son. They cannot coexist. You can't have it. Why? Because we are not. We're not the children of the bondwoman. We're the children of what? The free. When you place yourself under the law, you become a slave to the law. And instead of conviction coming from God and having a sweetness to it, it has a crushing result to it that makes us not run to God, but rather run away from God. So our reaction should be, whatever is in my life that brings me under bondage to the law, whatever ideas I have in my head, whatever thoughts I have in my head that if I do this, then God will do this. Any of that sort of situation has to be cast out. We have to repent of trying to earn favor before God on our own, repent of trying to be good enough or clean enough, and rest in the forgiving love of the Father and the awesome work of His Son. What do? We praise Him for what He's done, not try to add our own works to it that only bring us into bondage and prove who we really are. Amen?